She said, do you come from a land down under, where women glow and men plunder? Can't you hear the thunder? Yeah. You better run, you better take cover. Yeah. You better run, you better take cover.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Cider Nation podcast, a unique baseball podcast. Today, we have former MLB All-Star Steve Delabar. Thanks for coming on, Steve.
Hey, I'm excited. I've seen some of the content you put out there, and you got some knuckle dragon guys, and it's impressive when you see some guys that can really get down there and do what they do. Nice work.
You know, and honestly too, like some of it for me is just, I love hearing unique stories and yourself, and I played indie ball, and you know, guys like yourself kind of gave me inspiration to kind of stick in indie ball and try and make it. And you know, definitely you have a great story. So thanks for coming on. Look forward to hearing it.
I really appreciate that.
I guess, Steve, could you talk to us first a little bit kind of about baseball for you growing up, or, you know, kind of your college career?
Well, military kid. So moved back to Kentucky in 92. So that's like fourth grade. And then started playing Little League and just doing that, and didn't really think nothing of it, just go out and hit the ball and throw the ball and kind of go through that. And then I started growing, and I was always kind of the bigger kid, but you don't realize it until you stand next to other kids. You're like, damn, I'm pretty good size. And I'm 6'4", not huge, but I'm long. So 6'9" wingspan, you know, that helps, and big old hands. Played in high school, and I thought, you know, I'm a pretty good high school player. I thought I was going to get all this attention, and like you, you know, we're about the same age. So, if you didn't go to showcases or didn't put your name out there, then pretty much nobody knew who you were. And even like I said, I was one of the best players in this area. And by the time I got some, you know, attraction in college from some professional guys, I remember going down. I pitched in the fall from my college at Volunteer State Community College, just north of Nashville.
Okay.
And I go down there, and these scouts, they say, "Where did you come from?" I'm like, "Right up the road. I'm like 2 hours away." They're like, "False." He said, "Every Kentucky scout that we know, not a single one of them has heard of you." I'm like, "Well, I was there."
That's on the scouts.
Right. So that shows you how much that, you know, what you do early on, because college teams and all those, they're playing the same time. And, yep, you know, the scouts are, you know, going to those guys that they're going to see that may be draftable. So they're going to pay a lot of attention to them. And if I didn't go to a showcase the previous year or be seen by someone, then it, you know, it was nothing. Or let me go check out this small town in Kentucky and see if there's something there. Oh, nothing here. Well, I wasted my time, or, you know, wasted this gas to go there. And so it's, yeah, but I really good high school career. And then I thought, oh, you know, I'm going to go to a big school, because I was throwing back then in high school, throwing 90 or touching 90. You're like, man, this kid's got a good arm. But no, nothing. Didn't get anything. And then signed real, real late. I'd say probably 2 weeks before the fall started, to go to that school, and then went down there and started in the fall, and things started picking up, and ended up having Tommy John during my first year. Threw in 7 games. I ended up getting a medical redshirt because of the percentage of games.
Yep.
So I was able to go back the next year. I came back at the end of the year. So 10 months surgery, I was back in games and kind of pushed it a little bit. I guess being slightly pain tolerant, you know, some stuff didn't feel great, but I was like ready to compete. Like I was tired of watching, tired of sitting around. I had all the range of motion, strength checked out. It was just building up the workload. And that's what my body was like. I hate you. Why did you do this to me? Because my arm was hurting. I only threw like 8 or 9 innings. I even started a game in the conference tournament. And then I had been drafted by the Angels after that first year. And they did the draft and fall, and they wanted the rights to me. Said, we know your arm's messed up, but we want to retain it and see how, you know, rehab goes. And we'll follow back as, you know, check on your progression. So after the season was over, they wanted to sign me. And I'm like, I only threw 9 innings. So I guess it's cool that you want to sign me, but I need the physical checkbox to be knocked out. So I want to pitch a full season, because if you go out and get hurt, you know, playing, they're like, oh, you know, we got 100 more guys that are going to fill your slot. So I wanted to make sure that I was healthy enough to go and do what I was supposed to do. So decided not to sign. And then I got redrafted by the Padres, and they did the same thing. They wanted to do the draft and follow. And so pitched a full season, then ended up signing with them, as opposed to go to Kentucky where I'd sign in the fall. And then went off and started my professional journey.
Could you talk to us a little bit about your pro career, getting that started? And I guess, you know, you had to play a little indie ball before you made it to the show.
Yes. And I'd have to say, I signed with a team in Kentucky after I got released by the Padres. There was a team in Florence, Kentucky, just south of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And I thought, very few family members have seen me play professionally. So, it'd be a good spot that it's only, you know, 1.5-2 hours away, and they can come up and see me. And it, you know, if something comes from this, then whatever. But if not, then hey, at least they get to see me, right? So I'm there like 5 days. I pitched 4 out of 5 days out of the pen.
Yeah.
And they brought me in. They said, you're going to be a starter. I was like, perfect, because that's what I do. I'm a starter. And so I said, I got my routine. I'm going to do it, like be locked in. And I pitched 4 out of 5 days at the bullpen. And the last day I pitched like 2+ or 3+. I'm like, okay, in my mind, I'm like, I got to get built up. I have to get, you know, get built up and be a starter to go 6-7 innings. And so they bring me in, you know, they call me in. I'm like, okay, they're going to tell me this is my schedule for starting. They're like, we traded you. It's like, huh? What? No. Say that again. Yeah, we traded you to Brockton, Massachusetts. I was like, what? Okay, cool. So I go up there. I like leave the next day. I drive all the way up there, 16 hours. And hey guys, how's it going? So I just kind of jump in there. And I think I became a starter only there to start. I don't know if I pitched out of the pen at all. But I was a starter. I'm like, yeah, I'm like groove zone here. And so I'm pitching. Well, I think the amount of, so from spring training to when I signed with that team in Kentucky, there's a little layoff, but there wasn't any like workload building. So there was no inning after inning, none of that. So then I go home, play catch a little bit, nothing high stress. And then I jump in and go 4 out of 5 days in a high stress situation out of the bullpen with more than one inning. And I probably would have pitched 5 days in a row if I didn't tell the pitching coach, hey, I need a day off. So that's when I realized like independent ball is a little bit different than affiliated ball. It's like, we want to win. Give me what you got.
Revolving door.
Yes. So I was like, okay. So, but I get up there and I was a starter and I was doing well. But the amount of stress that I put on my arm early built up, and I ended up with some really bad like pain in my elbow. And so they shut me down after, I mean, we were out of the playoffs. So so I think I like missed my last start, go home and kind of, all right, now things, I got to get ready to be able to throw for teams and, you know, try to get in spring training camp with, you know, an affiliated team somewhere, just to get back on track to get to the big leagues. Yep. And so I'm training and doing all that. And then, you know, I get no calls to throw for anyone. And, you know, I call people and they're like, oh, I got something going on. And there was nothing there. So I was like, okay, so I'll go out and you just go and compete. And then when they start getting rid of guys, at like the beginning of April and kind of, you know, thinning out in the minor league, maybe I'll be dominating and they'll need a guy. And then I was open to anything. It's like maybe a long guy, maybe something, but as long as you get in the door, there's an opportunity to climb the ladder. And so then I throw a couple games and I was feeling really, really good. You know, get some pretty good strikeouts and using my stuff differently than I had before. Fastball I was actually using it up in the zone like guys are doing now. Yep. And my fastball plays there because it spins really, really high and it just kind of rides the zone. So I was getting some, a lot of strikeouts, but my arm, I don't know if it like came back from the previous fall and then I had some discomfort. So they shut me down for a month. And then it got to the point where they're like, hey, we can't keep you on the roster anymore. So we're either going to have to release you and hope that you don't sign with someone else, or we give you a cortisone shot and you get back in the game. And I'm like, do it, shoot it up, let's go. So did that. And that actually felt amazing. Not sure if you ever had one.
I was given kind of the choice for my shoulder and I didn't. I maybe wish I did, but.
Well, shoulder, it's a lot more complex than the elbow.
Yes.
So I guess if you're kind of masking some pain and trying to cover it up, you could end up with a much larger or worse repair later.
Yeah, that's kind of what they were saying.
Right. So mine was elbow and the pain was a stress fracture.
Ah.
And so I just kept going. And then, so after a month, they gave me that cortisone shot and then I start throwing and I'm like, holy crap, my arm feels amazing. Does that stuff really work that well? And then so now there's no time to build me back up to be a starter. So they put me in the pen and now I'm like, all right, I'm back in games. I feel good. Let's go. So now they're using me in like sixth, seventh, eighth inning, like back in guy. And because I had been feeling kind of like it wasn't working, I told another guy in the pen, I said, I may just take next year off, and kind of get a reset and I don't know, like, and he said, I don't know, man. He's like, maybe you need to kind of stick with this relieving thing. He's like, I'm liking you in that role. I'm like, we'll see. And kind of keep going. Well, we're in the pushing for the playoffs and I'm when I'm needed, I'm in there. So, but I couldn't get a breaking ball to turn over. So I'm just mainly fastball, just up in the zone, just see if you can hit it. And I'm just trying to just throw, just leave it up. And it's either a pop up or a swing and miss. And I'm like, hey, we need a ground ball. Like, get somebody else because I don't get those. Bringing them sidearm guys because I don't get those things. So, and even in my career, like after that, I'm like, I couldn't tell you. I know how to do it. I know what pitches to throw, but I don't throw those pitches. End up pitching a little bit more. Elbow starts barking again. I guess whatever they gave me is wearing off. So then he gave me another one. And I'm like, all right. So, which was a good thing because I had my elbow actually popped like while I was pitching in a game. And I mean, like pull a cork out of a bottle pop.
Oof.
Like that pressure. And I'm like, okay, that didn't feel right. Now I'm assuming if I didn't have the shot in there working its thing, it may have been a little more painful, but I was just like, that didn't feel right. So I call it. Everybody in the dugout's looking at me like, why isn't he getting ready to throw a pitch? And I'm like, I call the pitching coach out. I'm like, yeah, I felt a pop. And he's like, oh God, you guys knew my arm was not feeling good. So they take me out and I've got this picture and it from that night. And it looks like an alien's coming at the bottom because all the fluid that's there. And I had a few more, but they were on old like flip phone, and lost those. But so end up, you know, going, they said, you know, fractured olecranon, you know, the bone that rotates around the upper arm bone.
Yeah.
So that where your tricep connects. So if I was like, man, I actually lucked out. I mean, if that tricep was to snap, I'm looking at a lot more, you know, a lot longer time period of recovering. And so they said, you know, put this plate in here and use the screws and kind of hold it in place. And then when it heals, we can remove it all. Well, the time passed for the bone to heal, had x-rays, all that. And they said, you know, bone looks good. Everything looks good. No structural damage. And they said, we can take the screws out if you'd like. I think the bone may have fused to the plate, but we can remove the screws if they're causing any discomfort. And I was like, it's holding everything in place? They're like, yeah. I was like, leave it in there. So, and then I just wanted to be normal. I knew at this point is like, you know, the dream of getting to the big leagues is extremely distant. So I was like, yeah, you know, kind of hanging out, and do I go back to school? What do I do? And cause I was working with kids and doing baseball instruction and doing things like that. And, I was like, oh, what do I do? And then my wife's like, okay, you're not just going to sit around. Go back to school. So yep. Went back to school, started getting my, you know, attempted to finish my degree. And then I started playing softball, like slow pitch softball. And I was like, and I told you before, like when I get into something, I'm into it. And so I was like playing 6 or 7 days a week.
Dominating.
I mean, oh, yeah. I'm playing outfield. And just I told you, my ball rides up in the zone. So my very first game that we played, and I mean, arm's fine. Arm feels great. And throwing a softball, it's a little bit heavier, so there's not as much stress.
Yep.
And when you spin it, it just takes off, like throwing the rise ball or something like that. So, first game I'm playing like right center, you know, center field, right center, And this guy hits this ball. It's like a little bleeder and comes to me on a two hop. Well, the runner from second, he keeps going like, oh, this is easy. It's a base hit to the outfield. And I come up just hosing. Well, he's like halfway down the third base line. And I know he's out after I let it go. It's like that ball, as fast as I let go of that ball, he is out by, he's going to wonder where the ball came from. But I released it. And so when a baseball gets to a certain point, it starts to come down.
Yeah.
Well, softball doesn't. So I threw this ball and it kept going and it hit the concession stand behind the field. It just took off. It went the other, it didn't come down. It went up. And I was like, and I'm out there laughing, just belly laughing because I'm like, did anybody else see that? Of course, everybody's watching. So I'm like, that is hilarious. And other guys are like, dude, keep the ball in the field. I'm like, you don't understand. My brain just melted because I'm not sure what happened, but that is hilarious that the ball left the field on that throw. So end up playing all summer doing that. And then I started doing some of the shoulder strengthening program and velocity started jumping. And then, so we called up a guy that had seen me before, similar to the Rookie movie where it's like, hey, I've seen this guy, but not like this. This is different. And so he comes in and sees me and I'm coaching at a high school and just an assistant pitching coach and just doing just normal stuff. And then arms feeling great. I'm throwing like foul pole, long toss, but that's kind of normal, right?
I wish I could say I could do that.
I mean, ball is coming out hot. And so one of the guys that I work with at the indoor facility, he's like, dude, you should throw a bullpen. Cause when I would throw, it'd be like 93, 94. I'm like, I've never been anywhere close to that. Like on average, like I touch it here and there. And I think I may have had a 95.
Yeah.
In like a bullpen, just letting it eat. And so we get a hold of this scout with the Mariners. And he said, you know, I'm hearing some good things. I'm coming through there tomorrow. And if I would have thrown that bullpen on Sunday, then maybe none of this happens.
Huh.
So it's crazy how the little things
Yeah.
So I said, I don't even know if I have a catcher. So let me call the high school catcher and see if he can get out of school early and come over. Well, we had our first game of the season that day. I think it was March 21st when he was coming through to watch his high school game. He was going to see a kid that was supposed to be a high draft, high round draft pick at a high school south of us. And I think he ended up getting drafted by the Blue Jays. But he comes through. He's like, hey, I've got some time, like lunchtime, and, you know, only an hour and a half. Like, we can kind of sit and just kind of hang out. And I throw for him, and he's like, I got to turn this in. He's like, that's better than anything we got in the minor leagues right now. I'm like 95, 96, 97 in this bullpen. He's like, yeah. And you got a splitter, and there's a somewhat of a slider there. He's like, you're better than anything we got in the minor leagues. He's like, we don't have anything like that. I'm like, cool. He's like, no, I don't know what the people up top are going to say. He said, but I have to turn this in. I'm like, cool.
How old were you at this time, Steve?
27.
Okay.
27. This is 2011. I'm a high school pitching coach and throwing missiles. It starts gaining a little traction, and now the doctors say, okay, we know there's some history with the elbow. We need to see x-rays and all that stuff. So call, get things emailed or forwarded over and just kind of get that process going. They say, okay, all right, we need you to come out to Arizona and throw for us. And I'm like, cool. So I throw like a live BP, and I don't know if it was the travel or what, but I'm like, you know, we've heard better. We'll give it a couple of days. You know, you can come here and work out with the guys and then you'll throw another one, and then we'll decide after that. And I throw the second one. It's just like BBs with a splitter. They're like, yeah, we'd like you to sign with this. And they're like, hey, you know, you're 27 years old. You don't need to go prove yourself an A-ball. And then they send me to A-ball. And I'm like, you liars. I said, but you know what? I don't even care. I'm back in affiliated ball. I'm playing again. This is cool. Like, I compete. Everybody likes to compete at something. So I said, I'm back into it. Yeah, I felt good. Arm felt good. Rest of my body, not so much. And not because it's like, oh, you're getting older. It's because, no, I didn't train for this.
Yeah,
like, I was throwing.
Expecting that, right?
Right. I wasn't like doing sprint work or anything like that. So it's like, physically, I wasn't ready. So then they try to put you in a strength program. It's like, okay, I'm not ready to build strength here. I just need to be good enough to compete. And I remember like my hip flexor got all out of whack, but it's only when I did a certain lift. So I was like, let's not do that anymore. And then just make sure I'm good on the field. So then, I mean, I just started pitching well. And then they sent me to Double A. And then I was content. I was so happy. I was like, I've never been to Double A before. And I'm just, I'm content. I'm in Jackson, Tennessee, which is also extremely hot. And I'm close to home. I said, you know, family, several family came down to see me. And I was like, man, this, like, I'm, a good chance I'm going to go to big league camp the next year. And I'm happy. I'm good. Like, I don't have to go anywhere else. I just finished up the season there. I'm good.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, you're going to AAA.
Oh,
geez. I'm like, wow, cool. Never been there either. So I go up there and we go to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And the game before I got there, there was like 13 home runs hit in the game because it's such light air. And I'm like, oh, cool. That's great. Our team hit 10. And they called them the Monstars because it was like Willie Mopena, Alex Liddy, just Greg Hallman, Mike Wilson. There was a bunch of guys that just hit nukes. It's almost like they just stacked the team to have guys for the big leagues. Like, hey, we need a guy that can hit home runs. Don't worry. We've got a whole team in AAA that does that. So I think Liddy hit 30 that year. Willie Mopena, he finished out and actually got called up, but he's hitting balls in BP. He's hitting balls out of the stadium in Seattle. And like,
people
struggle to hit the ball like over the bullpen. And this guy's hitting him out of the stadium. I'm like, he's a mutant. I mean, he's 6'4", 270 pounds. And just, I mean, put together too. It's not like he's just he's just a freak. And one of the most genuine people ever. He's awesome. So But yeah, they sent me to AAA, and this is when my pitch arsenal started to take off, because I was mostly fastball slider and would mix a splitter in. So I get there, and it's such a light error that my slider won't turn over, which is probably why a lot of home runs are given up. Guys go, I have a good breaking ball. And I was like,
nope.
Yeah, good one. Yeah, good one, buddy. So changeups play very, very well in that lighter air. And or off speed pitches, anything with the downward action, like I would assume you would be like the sidearm guys would be nasty in that lighter air.
That's our time to shine.
If you threw like your normal fastball, your sinking fastball with a slower changeup off that, you're the guy that has like the 0.8 ERA and everybody else has a 7.5 or an 8, and like, this guy is unbelievable. So I start throwing the pin. Slider won't turn over, and I'm just basically breaking the catcher's thumb every time I try to throw a slider. And because it just backs up on me the whole time. And then I get in the game and I throw a slider in warmups, and I break the guy who started the game, I'm like breaking his thumb, and I throw some splits. He's like, you know, the catcher gives you that. He points at you with the gloves. Like, yeah, that's the one. Do that. I'm like, all right. So from that point on, the catchers are like, this guy's slider sucks. So they stopped calling it. Huh. I didn't even work on a slider. So I cut my pitches down to two. So I'm using my fastball. It's like, I know fastball in is just going to blow them up. I elevate with the fastball for a foul ball, and then I just go splitter right at their right, righty, righty split. And I'm throwing it like right at them, right down the middle, and they're swinging, and it's like back foot or straight down. And they're like walking off going, what just happened? I was all over that, and it's just gone. So I throw in, and I'm competing at the highest level of the minor leagues. And I'm like, I gave up one run while I was there. And I didn't even give it up. Somebody else came in after me and cashed it in. And it was like, I
love that.
But it's a single, and the guy hit a triple. So any other base hit and he probably doesn't score.
Yeah.
So it had to be something like this. So I was like, I'm still sparkling with a shiny one ERA. And then I asked the pitching coordinator. So he's in town. And I said, hey, is there any chance I get called up? And he's like, nope, not one bit. I was like, hey, but I was like, hey, I'm good at answer for me. Like I was so nervous to even ask the question, but somebody's like, hey, you need to ask, because then you can figure out how to set up your offseason program, your program for the offseason. So ask him. He said, nope, there's no chance. He said the 40 man is completely full. And I was like, hey, sounds good to me. What's a 40 man? Like, I'm not even there. I'm not even worried about that. I've never been a prospect. I never thought I was going to get put on the 40 man list. So I don't know about protection and all the options and all this. I said, I'm just happy to be here where I am. So I'm just going to do what I do. And you saying there's no room, I'm going to believe you. And we're going to go with that. So I have all these questions for all these other guys who have been up and down, like, what's, you know, 40 man? And I knew a little bit, but not like, I wasn't educated in it. So it's like that night or the next night, one of the outfielders does an oblique strain. So then that spot freed up for me. You know, we finished out the season and everybody's packing up their stuff and the pitching coach says, hey, man, come in here. And so I like go in the office and I thought, I'm like getting let go. Like, last couple of times I've been called in the office, and it doesn't really end too well.
Don't like those meetings.
right. It's real nervous. And, you know, they don't want to tell you what they got to tell you, but it's like, hey, you know, it's not you. We really like you. And you know, you're a hard worker. And all. But no, this one wasn't like that. They had another guy from the front office in there. I'm like, that guy looks, he's got like a suit on. Like, he looks like too official for a baseball game. And I'm like, what's going on here? But the manager's like, hey, tell me what you were doing last year. And I kind of run down the things like the softball and the school and the pitching coach and the other baseball. And he's like, oh, that's cool. Cause I get to, you know, tell guys like you're going to the big leagues. And I'm like, hold on now. This is like, where's the punk guy? Like, he's going to walk out right now and be like,
I should go to you.
Right. Like, haha, I got you. And, but no, I know. And I remember I was like, no way. That's like so cool. And I got up, gave him the biggest hug ever. And then he's like, well, you're going to need like a sport coat. And I'm like, yeah, I don't have one of those. So I borrowed the pitching coaches, and it was like this, just hound's tooth. Like, he's like, just carry it with you. You don't have to wear it. You just have to have one. I'm like, okay, all right, sure. And then once we got there, then I actually went, like, met the team in Anaheim. I didn't sleep at all.
I bet.
And then I said, this is going to be perfect. I didn't get any sleep, and I'm going to pitch in the big leagues tomorrow. So I got there. I was like, oh, yeah, I know how it is. I usually like to get these guys in there. And they're like, no, don't worry. You're not pitching tonight. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, right. Like, you know, you've seen guys that get called up. They put them in there the first game. They're like, yes, normally, but you're not pitching tonight. I was like, why? They're like, Felix is pitching. I'm like, oh. And at this point, Felix was going like eight.
Yeah.
Eight every game. And like, if you thought you were going to get in the game, he's like, don't worry, guys, I got it. Like, okay, that's cool. Like, he'll throw 150 pitches and be like, ah, I can give you one more. Another person, extremely genuine.
Yep.
And then, okay, I'm looking around the clubhouse. I look over, you know, I got a nameplate. I was like, this is cool. I was like, but they spelled my name wrong. I'm like, you know, like, awesome. But hey, but
you'll take
I got
that.
A name. I got a name. They got most of it right, but I'm here. And unless they call me in and tell me I'm not here, then Ashton Kutcher will probably be right there with them, right?
The show's still going on.
Right. So, but my locker is right next to Felix. And I'm like, oh, great. First day here, I was like, I can't mess up. I can't get in his way. He's starting today. I don't want to, you know, I was a starter previously. Like, you got your routine.
Yeah.
Like, he's got to do his thing. I want to stay out of his way. I want to do whatever. I'm like, hey, like, is my stuff in your way? He's like, no, you're good. And he's like, he's the only person I've ever seen. You know, you see guys getting locked in with their headphones, and this guy is like clowning around before the game, like bouncing around. Like, I mean, he goes and gets loose and does his stuff, but until like he puts on his jacket and he's about to go at the bullpen, he's kind of like, and I think that kind of everybody has, like, even if you've done it 1,000 times, you still have like that nervous.
Oh, absolutely.
Energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you like, so he goes and, you know, kids around and does stuff. And then, like, he puts on it, like, his coat or, you know, pullover or hoodie, and then he's going out to the bullpen, and then it's like locked in, and you're like, oh, here we go. Let's watch this show. And it was pretty cool. So I get to play with him, I guess, the rest of that year, and then the half of the next year, because I went in the next year, and there's no guarantee. You got to compete to make the team. I'm like, dude, they let me in the door. I said, they're going to have a tough time kicking me out of this house. So I said, I'm training, going to do my thing, going to get locked in, really, really, you know, commit and focus on me physically and getting myself ready for the following season. I said, because I'm making that team. Like, you can't tell me anything different. Like, if they would have said, hey, we're going to send you down, I'd be like, wrong answer. Like, that's how my mind was. It's like, there's no, like, I'm going into spring training as if I'm already on the big league roster.
Yep.
And you're not, there's no, like, I was that locked in. So I go out and pitch, and I did okay. You know, I gave up a couple runs here, but stuff was good. Like, as far as being ready for the season, you know, my stuff was where it should be. So then I go out. Actually, we opened up in Japan that year against Oakland. So I come in, I give up a home run to Johnny Gomes. And I'm like, oh, this is great. Starting the season with, you know, it was a solo home run, so that's good. But I'm like, ah, it's fine. But 4 of the first 5 hits I gave up to start the season were home runs. I'm like, this is unbelievable. And the other guys that I got out were like all strikeouts. I'm like, this is stupid. Like, what are the odds? And I was trying to throw a slider, and the slider wouldn't turn over. So I should have listened to the catchers and, you know, in AAA the previous year, like, put that thing away, throw it away. Because every time I would throw it, it would end up in a bad result.
And, it wasn't just New Mexico. But,
no, but I remember trying to throw it in spring training, and I was like, it was almost like a, like the backup slider.
Okay.
But it was like sinker with slider spin.
Yeah.
So if I could have perfected that, then hitters are going, I see slider spin. How is that on me? How's that staying on me? Like right-handed hitters. Oh, he's going to throw the back door to lefties, and it's a sinker. But I didn't work on it. I didn't try because my brain told me, you know, it's spin and it's a turnover. I just couldn't get it to turn over. So I stopped working on it and just went fastball split, and things were good. And then, you know, ERA starts kind of coming down. They're like, hey, call me in the office. We were celebrating Iwakuma when he was there. So he had a real good start. He had like a really, really bad week. Like he had flown back to Japan. His dad wasn't doing well. End up, you know, passing while he was over there. And he comes back, you know, we all welcome him back and kind of put him in there. And he has like the best start of his career. And it was like, you know, you feel so good for someone to have, you know, to do something like that. So the team, like we're like doing a beer shower for him. And they're like, hey, Delabar, come here. And they pull me away from the celebration. I'm like, but we got the, okay, I'll go. So go in the office and the GM's in there. I'm like, oh, here we go. And I've already been up and down several times. So I was like their elevator guy, right? Up and down, because I had the option so they could do that.
Yeah.
And then they're like, hey, we just, you know, we traded you to Toronto. I'm like, what? Yeah, we, you know, thank you for, you know, working hard and all that stuff. And you know, just been a pleasure. But you know, you'll talk to the travel guy and he'll help you out with all the stuff. And then so I walk out and my wife's pregnant. And I'm like, I got traded. She's like, yeah, I know. We all knew about it. Like it happened during the game.
Gotcha.
So we were playing Toronto. They were in town, and the funny part is me and another guy were leaning on the rail during that game, and Travis Snyder got traded to Pittsburgh during that game. That was Snyder for Brad Lincoln. And me and the guy leaned on the rail, said, hey, maybe one of us got traded. We haven't pitched in a week. And he's like, oh man, I don't know. He's like, I got two kids. I got three dogs. He's like, it would kind of be a lot to move. I'm like, yeah, we didn't get traded. And then walk in and one of us got traded. So just, it's funny how things just carry out and just do what they do. But so going, she's like, yeah, we knew. It was like on Twitter. And I'm like, well, somebody could have came in the bullpen and told me. And so we get to our apartment, and now it's a rush because it's like, well, I got like a couple of days because Toronto's in town. But the travel guy's like, hey, you know, welcome to the team. We need to get as much of your stuff on the team plane as possible. I'm like, oh, okay. And then the rest you can put in your car. We'll ship your car out to Toronto. I'm like, okay. All right. So I get there and I'm telling her, we got to pack this stuff. We got to get it ready. She's like, she's pregnant. She's like, when is this? In July. She's due in November. So she's somewhat far along. And she's like, I don't know. Like she gets all emotional. I was like, okay, all right, let's take a break. Let's just chill out.
Canada's not that bad.
No, it's not bad on that end, but it was like, no, I love Canada, but getting everything packed so quickly.
Oh, I can imagine.
And because Toronto's in town, and we were leaving from there to go to Oakland, and they were putting stuff in the car to ship to Toronto. So no, I think they shipped it home. But so I have a couple games there. She goes to Toronto, car goes home. And then I go with the team to Oakland. And then from Oakland, we go somewhere. And I pitched one game in Seattle for Toronto against Seattle, against my guys I was just celebrating with the previous day. And then I go to Oakland and throw like three out of four. And it's like all strikeouts. So then we go back to Toronto. And then, I mean, I'm at this point, I'm like, man, I'm new team. We talk about changing things up, and it's like new team. You know, they traded for me. There's probably no chance that I get sent down. So it's like free. Just go and do. And then you're playing against the Yankees every other weekend and the Red Sox every other weekend. And I'm like, this is crazy. Let's do it. And I'd been to Boston previous, that year with Seattle. So been there, and then played against the Yankees at home. Going to Yankee Stadium, going to Boston, and just going to a place you haven't been is really, really cool. I pitch against, I think, New York at home, and they crushed me. And I was like, just like, oh, man. I was riding this high. Of course, the game humbles you the best it can. And it's not like it was, right. It wasn't like I was like boasting and like, oh, I'm the man, but I was feeling really good. And then the Yankees come in and they just, crush me. And then the next game after that was a game I pitched against the White Sox and I struck out everybody. Like they brought me in extra innings and I struck out four in the 10th because one got away on a split.
Yeah, yeah.
And then came back out in the 11th. And the guy who was leading the league in strikeouts is Adam Dunn. He's a second hitter. So Euclid is the first one. I strike him out. So that's five in a row. Adam Dunn's leading the league in strikeouts. I throw him two splits and he rolls over. And then I strike out the next guy. I'm like, the only guy that didn't strike out is the guy who leads the league in strikeouts. So
come on, Adam.
Yeah, I had six Ks in two innings, and we end up walking them off in the 11th. I'm like, I'm a fantasy baseball king right now. Like if you have me on your team, you're like, this guy is the best. And then, things kind of went as they did, that year, and then going to camp the next year. And that's when, I really focused on like my nutrition. And so I was like 235. For most, 230, 235, like the whole season. So I focused on, diet, and like I would literally like bring my food. When people say, hey, come over, we'll have dinner, I would like bring my own food. Like, I don't know what you're cooking or how you cooked it, but like I'm doing this. And my buddy knew, he's like, yeah, this is like a commitment thing. And his wife was like, oh, he's like, hey, this is job. So like, he's like really focusing on it.
And you could tell the difference.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so I wasn't carrying the extra weight. Now I leaned out. I think it was like, I went from 230. I was like 215 ish lean, but I was like quick, strong, like I'm fairly athletic, but I was more athletic. So I go and recovery is good. And I'm ready to go. And I'm throwing a little bit harder because, you can recover a little bit more. And the training that I had, we kind of pushed the top end. And the best part about it is I normally have like a hamstring or, like a small lower back from, maybe overdoing it. Maybe an ankle, something small that will.
Yeah, nothing ever quite 100%.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that I didn't have anything like that. It was like trainer gave me something, and I would do it and be like, "Is that all you got?" And then he would try to like one up that, and I would do it, and almost like I was laughing, like, "Is that all you got?" And it just kept pushing. Like I was just kind of. And I didn't have anything. And that was the only off season I ever had that I didn't have any type of hiccup physically or go into it with anything physically. So it was like, hey, let's get started. Let's go. And just, so it took off. And that's when I was able to, and I'd say the diet had a lot to do with it because I wasn't carrying any, extra weight. And making that adjustment in the diet was like very, very hard because you'll go grab a bag of chips and you'll kind of just, and it was like, no, I am super strict. When I got like my diet, they're like, you can have sunflower seeds as a snack. And I remember eating these snack or these seeds and I was pissed. Oh, I was so mad. And I was hungry, but you have to get past that and kind of get, reset your body. And I was like, uh-uh. And I told you, like, once I do something, I'm all in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my wife did not like talking to me for a few days because my body wasn't adjusted. And I'm used to just grabbing a snack here, you go grab a beer, just kind of chill out. And that was none of that.
And probably even like with the minor league diet, right? Like that's a tricky adjustment.
Right. Because you're not making big league money.
No.
So
leftover hot dogs and yeah.
Right. So you didn't build up the financial support during the season to kind of allow you to train and you know, invest in your body that way.
The way you should
go. Right. So you have to go work a job or you know, do other things. Like, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to play next season because I can't afford to live. So, like I got to make, you know, pay the bills and do things like that. And that's part of, you know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, the grinding up through the system. It's like, you know, how long do I want to do this before, you know, I have to make a decision because I can continue to play and maybe eventually make it work, or it just doesn't work because financially, unless you signed it like a huge signing bonus, you know, some guys, it's like, it doesn't make sense for me to continue to play when I have to almost pay money to play.
Yeah. No, I hear you there. It's a tough grind. And I think a lot of people don't realize that.
And the funniest part is like, you go home or you go somewhere and like, hey, when do you think you're going to make the pros? I'm like, what do you think I'm playing now? Yeah. The pros. Like, you mean the big leagues? Like, yeah, the pros. I'm like, so, you know, Eric Kratz, I mean, everybody got to know him well from him playing in the playoffs with, was yep. Milwaukee. And then he, so played with him on several different teams. One of the, another guy who's awesome, but he is like, he's just like he is, which you hear there. Like, he says just straightforward stuff and it's hilarious. And, one-liners, he'll probably be a manager one of these days. He would joke and say, hey, I'm just trying to get up to the pros. You know, I'm just here in, you know, Triple H, just trying to get to the pros. And but everybody knew he was talking about it, and we just always laughed. But yeah, so going back to the diet thing, like, you know, it was, you know, the commitment on the mental side, and then and it worked. So body fat percentage came way down. I think went down to 16-17%. That may be high. Down to like 11.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was, you know, it was very, very good. I've tried to do that, but I haven't been near as like committed to that. But I've had hiccups, you know, here and there where things like going into, so 13 finished, like went to the All-Star game in 13. That was awesome. But I was hurting. So shoulder was barking, even when I pitched in that game. But, and going into that, because I was up for the final vote. And I was like, if I don't pitch, then there's probably no chance that I get in because I'm just not seen. Of course, if I don't pitch well, then I'm probably not getting in anyway. But if I have to get in here, I have to do what I do. And I just have to be seen. I like have to put up numbers. I have to do that. And so I finished the first half, good numbers, actually awesome numbers. And my shoulder was hurting so bad. It was like anytime I was available, I was in the game because I was bouncing back so quick, but workload catches up. And the recovery side of, you know, when you throw multiple innings at a pin and you're not used to going, I think I went maybe 2+ one game in Boston and go out to throw. And I didn't get loose like I normally do and started throwing and something didn't feel right. So actually there was a week during that first half that they shut me down and nobody knew about it, but they kind of like stayed away from me. They didn't have to send me down or put me on the DL because then they would have lost. Back then it was you're on it for 15 days.
Yep.
And they didn't want that to happen. So whenever I felt good and they were like, all right, back in there. Are you feeling good back in there? And if I pitch, of course, you got all that blood flow. Everything feels good after you're done. It's not until after it all settles and then you're like, ah, I'm not feeling good right there. So the, you know, I finished the first half. It, you know, everything feels not great. And then they bring me in after the All-Star break. They're like, we're thinking about putting you on the DL. And I was like, nah, you know, I'm pitching well. I'm feeling good. Like on the emotional side of it, like mentally, I'm like locked in, but physically I'm hurting. So velocity's come way down. And then I, you know, I try to pitch like that and it doesn't work. Like we go out to the West Coast and I'm like, yeah, this isn't good. So then they send me to Florida to rehab, put me on the DL when I should have went on, you know, 2 or 3 weeks before, and then come off. And then, you know, I guess September 1st end up getting reactivated and pitching out. But it wasn't all the way back to where it should be. And I probably should have just taken the rest of the season because we were out of the playoffs. We were like fourth or fifth in the division. And, you know, things weren't going well because all the other teams were just crushing. But so it would have been nice to just take the rest off and then get that recovery and then be ready to go for the next season. But me hard headed. It's like, no, I'm going, I'm doing it. Went in the next year, shoulder wasn't feeling great, kind of pitched through it. And then, so the previous year come out blazing, like, you know, 96, 97, 98, velocity is good. Well, 14, I come out and it's like 92, 91, 93. It's like, okay, those are okay, but not what it was. And then I remember I was shagging BP one time and I go to like, I was a power shagger, you know, go all out. So in Toronto, they have no warning track. So I'm running down the right field line in foul territory to get this ball. Well, I stopped so quick, or else I'm doing the one where you flip over the fence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I stopped so quick that I jammed up my knee really, really, really bad. And I was like, okay, that didn't feel good. Well, that became a problem and I didn't tell anybody about it. Most people were like, oh, I got a hangnail, I'll go run to the trainer. But no, I'm a hard-headed jerk, I guess. And don't tell anybody. So I just try to pitch through it because I'm like, if I can get myself loose, then the results is all that matters. Just get the job done. So, and it's one of those things, like I was never like a prospect. So it's like, I'm not going to hold out. Like I got to earn what I get.
Yep.
So
I get that.
So I'm not just going to sit on the sidelines and go, oh, and not that those guys do that, but you see it. You know, some guys get hurt and then some guys, you've seen it.
Yeah, no, I totally get where you're, and that's the business side of it, right?
Right. So, yeah. you are investing in yourself. Yeah. So it's like, you know, do I pitch through it or do I, you know, make that investment here? And I was like, nah, I had to earn to get here. I got to grind through this and make it work. But I felt physically like if I can get loose, then I'm good. But my knee, that was a different thing. And it wasn't my knee. It was like quad got super tight and had the referred pain in my knee. And I didn't know where it was coming from. But I don't know. It just ended up playing. So now my velocity isn't where it needs to be. And now I can't get over my front side like I need to. And I can't get the ball down the zone. Well, if I was smart and let the ball ride up in the zone like it should have, then I would have been fine. But no, I was trying to pitch down the zone with a hurt knee. And I should have been pitching the top of the zone the whole time. And you know, hindsight's 20/20, but end up not pitching well there because I'm forcing the ball down and trying to gain, like, let's force it again. So I'm trying to push velocity and get the ball down, and now control's bad. So then they're like, oh, we're gonna send you down. And I'm like, okay. I was almost gonna come to you guys, and I seriously, you know, after the fact, you're like, oh, sure you were, but I almost went to Gibbons and told them to send me out, like, because I was a detriment to, I wasn't me, I wasn't like, I wasn't the player that, you know, everybody thought I
just didn't feel right.
Right. I wasn't me. So I was like, I'm not who you guys want me to be. So I'm not as valuable right now. I need to be me in order for us to be, you know, I'm not good for the team right now. That's not the, I guess, the personal business way to do it. But I'm trying to win ball games and play for the team. And because, you know, we talked about the indie ball stuff. So when you're an indie ball, I think that was the best thing that ever happened to me in my career. Because you go there and it's no longer pitch counts. It's no longer, hey, we need to give you a day off because no. You show up, you win the ball game. And it taught you how to learn it. It for me, you know, you always want to win when you're younger. And then you get an affiliated ball and kind of your viewpoint on it gets skewed because they're pushing development and, you know, we got to get you ready for the big leagues and the next level and all this stuff. And winning is not as important.
Yeah.
But in indie ball, it is, you better show up, you better get it done because the door is right there. So, and it kind of gave you that like aggressive mentality again. It's like, hey, we're going for blood. We're winning. It doesn't matter. We're getting it done tonight. So, and that's the part that I really, really enjoyed. And the team that I played for in Brockton in 09, we had like a really good run. So that door was, they may need to oil the hinges a little bit for that revolving door because it didn't move. Like we had guys that played bad, but they didn't get rid of anybody. And we had this awesome chemistry with this team. So we just gelled as a group and it was like, you know, we were like all brothers and we made a couple moves in, you know, in there a little bit, but for the most part, we had the whole same group for the whole season. And it was a really, really solid group. It's like being with family, like you'll do a lot for family. So when you're running these guys all the time, and I mean, you're committed to each guy in the room and we got on some really awesome win streaks, like 10 game, 12 game. And it's like, oh, we can't, you know, we cannot wait to win because we know that we're going to like that as a group, we enjoy these wins so much together that it is awesome. And then you lose, it's like we lost or we won 10 in a row, lost one and then won 12 in a row. It was like just crazy run. And I mean, just we had a lot of fun on that team, but teaching you to win. And not just do development. That was really, really cool.
Definitely a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause you see like some guys, they go through the minor leagues, with affiliated ball and they get to the big leagues and then they don't have that mentality of, okay, there's nowhere else to go from here. Get with it and get it done. And you can't just flip the switch and just, oh, now I want to win. Nah, it's gotta be ingrained. You gotta go. Some people play on teams all through the minor leagues. Like they win every year. So they kind of, it makes it a lot easier once you get up and you're like, we're not winning. This is stupid. This is dumb. We're not winning. We got to do something about that. A lot easier whenever you're doing it every year. But when teams are like, yeah, you know, we got our three players that we're trying to develop and everybody else is, you know, kind of along for the ride. Different.
No, I love that story, Steve.
She said, do you come from a land down under where women glow and men plunder? Can't you hear the thunder? Yeah. You better run, you better take cover. Yeah. You better run, better take cover.